Hello, friends. Mike Adams here with the Unsunday Show. This is the show that's all about leaving empty religious obligation for a clearer view of Jesus. Today, I want to talk to you about why it's important to make an Old Covenant and New Covenant distinction when reading Scripture. It's important to know the historical setting of a passage of Scripture that we're reading, whether it took place in the Old Covenant or in the New Covenant. That's huge. And in this episode, we're going to talk about why.
You're listening to The Unsunday Show.
Leaving behind religious obligation to find a more authentic expression of Christ in us. This is The Unsunday Show.
When we fail to interpret Scripture or to read Scripture according to the historical context that a particular passage resides in, it results in a flattening out of the Bible. It results in the belief that everything in the Bible, everything in Scripture applies to me. Everything in Scripture was written to me. But the truth is, nothing in Scripture was written to me. Everything in Scripture was written to people that are no longer around. And so when I fail to make an Old Covenant, New Covenant distinction when I'm reading Scripture, I flatten out Scripture as though it all applied to me. One of the ways that you can tell if this is being done is when someone comes up with the phrase, let's talk about what the Bible says about, and then fill in the blank. Or maybe their Bible study is entitled, What the Bible Says About, and then insert a topic. The assumption is that everything in the Bible, every verse in the Bible, that speaks to a particular topic is of equal weight and of equal value. And that gets us in trouble, because what happens then is we start mixing law and grace, and we try and force all of it into grace. But when we mix anything with grace, grace becomes non-grace. If we mix anything with grace, grace becomes whatever we've mixed into it. It's been diluted. And as we're about to see, grace is a new covenant concept. Grace is at home in the New Covenant. So I want to start by talking about the Old Covenant and why trying to blend passages from the Old Covenant with passages from the New Covenant is detrimental and destructive to the idea of grace. So let me begin by stating that the Old Covenant was a covenant given to ancient Israel and ancient Israel alone. The Gentiles, that is, the non-Jews, never had the Old Covenant. The non-Jews never had the Law of Moses. It was always, from the start, given to ancient Israel and only ancient Israel. In addition, that Old Covenant was a legal, conditional covenant that required perfect obedience to all 613 of its commands and statutes. It was a works covenant. And the Old Covenant started in Exodus 24 with blood being shed and the giving of the law and the people's acceptance of the terms of that covenant. The Old Covenant was a covenant God made with the people, and the people accepted it and ratified it and said, everything that the Lord has said, we will do. And of course, they immediately failed because no one would be able to keep those 613 laws and commands and statutes and ordinances contained in the Old Covenant Law of Moses. But let's back up a moment. When we talk about the Old Covenant beginning in Exodus 24, what's going on in verses previous to that? The entire book of Genesis and the book of Exodus up until chapter 24 of Exodus. What's that all about? Well, I suppose we should step back and get a big picture of how Scripture fits together before we go any further. And one of the ways that I like to do this is to use football as an analogy for how Scripture fits together. And when I say football, I'm talking about American football. And this might seem kind of weird, but stick with me. Most of Scripture is centered around two covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. There are other covenants in Scripture, but Scripture really is centered around these two covenants, the Old Covenant, or the covenant that was made with ancient Israel, and the New Covenant, which we're under today. In our analogy, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant are like the two halves of a football game. The first half is the Old Covenant, and the second half is the New Covenant. The field, in our crazy analogy here, represents the earth. Remember the covenant God made with Noah? In that covenant, God promised that as long as the game was being played, there would always be a field to play it on. In other words, the earth wasn't going to be destroyed again as long as redemptive history was being played out. The scriptures prior to the start of the first half or the start of the Old Covenant in Exodus 24 can be considered the pre-game show in our crazy analogy. Not that they're unimportant, but what we see going on there is preparation for the rest of the game. It's also important to note that the home team for the first half of the game, that is the Old Covenant, is ancient Old Covenant Israel and no one else. In our analogy, the first half of the game continues to be played until Jesus' death on the cross. At that time, the second half starts. The second half of the game is the New Covenant, and it will continue to be played until Jesus comes back. It's also important to recognize that the home team for the second half of the game has changed. It's no longer ancient Old Covenant Israel, but now it's people from every tribe and nation, including modern Israel. So in our football analogy, we see redemptive history being played out primarily in two halves, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, the home team was ancient Israel. They're the ones who received the law. They're the ones who received the Old Covenant. They're the ones who agreed to the terms of the Old Covenant. And they're the home team in the first half of our game analogy. But that all changes in the second half, doesn't it? In the second half of our game, or in the New Covenant, people from every nation and tribe comprise that home team. And there's a lot more that I could say about this crazy football analogy, but I'll just leave it right there for now, because I think it helps to visualize how Scripture fits together. It's centered around those two covenants, Old Covenant and New Covenant. Even though there are more covenants mentioned in Scripture, those are the two primary covenants that we see being played out in our game analogy. And when the New Covenant begins, it begins with the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. The New Covenant, or the New Testament, same word, does not begin in Matthew 1, Mark 1, Luke 1, or John 1. It begins instead with the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. That's the beginning point of the New Covenant and the coinciding end point of the Old Covenant, because the New Covenant makes the Old Covenant obsolete. That's Hebrews 8. And so even though we open our Bibles to the New Testament, and that New Testament page, you know, kind of announces that this is the New Testament, and it's right at the beginning of Matthew chapter 1, we assume that the New Testament or the New Covenant begins there, but it doesn't. Most of what is in what we call the Gospels is Old Covenant. And the New Covenant, or the second half of the game in this crazy analogy, doesn't begin until Jesus sheds his blood on the cross. And when the New Covenant begins, it's the birthplace or the fertile soil of the Gospel. There is no Old Covenant Gospel. In the Old Covenant, there's only a promise of a better New Covenant. And in the second half of our game analogy, the New Covenant begins at the cross of Jesus, and it continues up until today. Now, here's an important point that I've already alluded to once. The Old Covenant has been made obsolete by the New Covenant. There is no Old Covenant today. No one today is under the Old Covenant. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, you're not under the Old Covenant. It's been rendered obsolete, and it's passed away. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 8. And coinciding with the passing of the Old Covenant, the law of Moses has been abolished. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're told that Jesus abolished the law in his flesh on the cross. And so the law of the Old Covenant, which is the law of Moses, those 613 commands that made up that law, have been abolished. They've been done away with. Why would they stick around? Why would they still be here if the covenant that they belong to has been made obsolete and rendered inoperative? Ephesians chapter 2, again, tells us that Jesus brought an end to that old covenant law. He abolished that old covenant law in his flesh on the cross. And we think, yeah, but on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law. Well, something happened between the Sermon on the Mount and Ephesians chapter 2, didn't it? And that something is the cross. Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, which is exactly what he did. But he continued to say that nothing's going to pass from the law until everything is accomplished. And on the cross, everything was accomplished, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And so this old covenant law has been abolished, it's been done away with, and a new covenant has been introduced, beginning with the cross of Jesus. And this new covenant is better. It's built on better promises. It has a better priest. And that better priest made a better sacrifice that actually took away sins once for all. And under the new covenant, we receive true forgiveness of sins by faith apart from works of an abolished law. Or as Paul said, the law is weak and useless. It is powerless to forgive sins, and it's powerless to impart righteousness or life. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul calls the law of Moses a ministry of death. This is why not recognizing the context and audience of Old Covenant and New Covenant scriptures leads to confusion and turns grace into law by mixing the two. Again, this is a common way to approach the Bible. What does the Bible say about fill in the blank? Well, when we do that, again, I want to reemphasize this, we flatten out all of Scripture as though there's no distinction between Old Covenant and New Covenant. This is what we hear in most pulpits and in most churches and in most Bible studies today. There's very little, if any, consideration for which covenant a passage resides in, who the audience was, what was being said, and the historical and cultural context of the passage. We just find something that we latch onto and we pull it out of context and we try and make it apply today in this new covenant age. But there is no old covenant in the new covenant. There was no period in time when the old covenant and new covenant ran simultaneously. The new covenant, by its very definition, made the old one obsolete. And when we don't give consideration to the old covenant, new covenant context of a passage, we end up mixing law and grace. And law wins every time. Because remember, grace plus anything equals whatever that thing is that we brought into grace. But we tend to be works-oriented, don't we? We tend to be doers. There's nothing wrong with being a doer, but if we're trying to be a doer to please God or trying to be a doer to gain a better status with Him or to impress Him in some way, instead of accepting by faith that all of our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, and that the very life of God is within each of us who have come to know Him by faith, we turn our attention to doing more to keep Him happy with us. Listen, the day that God is disappointed in you, Christian, will be the same day He's disappointed in Christ's sacrifice for you on the cross, and that's never going to happen. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence within you. As I mentioned a moment ago, the life of God is within you. Or as Peter put it, we share in the divine nature. And you've got a new life and a new heart, and the Holy Spirit is residing within you. But our tendency is to take verses out of context, resulting in mixing law and grace, and we come up with another gospel. Isn't that the problem that the Galatian churches had? The Galatian gospel was another gospel. The gospel of grace that they initially received became polluted by false teachers who insisted that the old covenant law of Moses was binding on them. And remember, these were Gentiles who were never under the law in the first place. And with the death of Jesus on the cross, no one's under the law. But these Judaizers who came to the believers in Galatia who were Gentiles didn't understand that. And they taught that the old covenant law of Moses was binding on those believers. That's why Paul said, "I'm astonished, I'm amazed that you've so quickly moved away from Him who called you by His grace into another gospel, which is not another of the same kind," he said. "It's a totally different kind of gospel. It's no gospel at all. It's justification by works. Because again, as soon as we add anything to grace, grace becomes that thing. In this case, the law of Moses." And so those who came to the churches in Galatia made no distinction between the old covenant and the new covenant. And that resulted in a works righteousness, which is no righteousness at all. Because remember, by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Not you, not me, nobody. And what happened in Galatia is true today in most of our institutional churches, isn't it? We mix Old Covenant scriptures with New Covenant scriptures, turning grace into law. And in most cases, it surfaces as some sort of out-of-context law passage intended for another time and a different people under a different covenant. And it's assumed to be just as valid and true today. And so it gets placed on the conscience of believers today that we're not doing enough, or that we need to be tithing, or that we shouldn't get tattoos, or on and on and on. I mean, the thing just keeps going nuts. And it gets worse and worse the longer it goes unchecked. But let me emphasize this again. No one today is under the old covenant, and no one today is obligated to obey Moses. The old covenant and its law were historically time-bound. That's Galatians chapter 3. The law was in place for the Jews only until the coming of Christ. Again, go look at Galatians 3 and you'll see what I mean. Flattening out all of Scripture and not considering an Old Covenant, New Covenant context in Scripture results in a works mentality that I have to do more to please God, that His sacrifice on the cross for me, that His resurrection for me, that His ascension for me wasn't enough. There's something I need to add to it. But Paul reminded the Galatians that we've been set free from everything. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free, he told the Galatians. The Jews of Paul's day had been set free from everything that the law and the obsolete Old Covenant couldn't set them free from. And just like the Galatians, we hear a lot of law introduced today. Again, mostly by out-of-context passages where the Old Covenant and New Covenant context hasn't been carefully considered. But just like Paul told the Galatians, we need to guard that freedom, because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Paul encouraged the Galatians to not become entangled in mixing the covenants, but recognize that there's an Old Covenant context and there's a New Covenant context. And one of the first things that we should do when we're reading Scripture is ask ourselves, which covenant is this in? Again, from Exodus 24 until the cross is Old Covenant. Getting back to our crazy football analogy, where redemptive history is played out in two halves. There's an Old Covenant and there's a New Covenant. There's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. Same word, Testament and Covenant. And it's really easy for someone who is a legalist to reach back into the Old Covenant, ignore context of a verse, pull a verse out that suits the thing that they're trying to promote, and try and make it binding on the conscience of a believer today. But a lot of error can be avoided by simply asking, which covenant, Old Covenant or New Covenant, is this passage based in? That's especially true with the four Gospels, because most of what's in the four Gospels, as I already mentioned, is historically in the Old Covenant, where Jesus is primarily talking to Old Covenant Jews about the Old Covenant and about the Law of Moses. It's there that he introduces the idea of the kingdom. It's there that he introduces the idea of a new covenant. But that new covenant wasn't inaugurated yet until he died on the cross. So I just wanted to bring that up, just talk about that briefly, to talk about the Old Covenant, New Covenant context and how that's so important to interpreting and understanding Scripture and to keeping straight or keeping in line what applies to us and what doesn't. And there's so much more there that could be said. I mean, I haven't even scraped the surface here, but if you take this principle and you really work it out, there's a lot of Scripture that we tend to kind of fold together as far as Old Covenant and New Covenant. We mix them together as though the Bible were flattened out and all of redemptive history was flattened out and there's no distinction between Old Covenant and New Covenant. And that gets us in trouble. That gets us in a lot of trouble. So I wanted to bring that up. I wanted to just talk about that. I wanted to flesh that out a little bit. I wanted to give you my football game analogy, which is probably really ridiculous, but hey, I wanted to do it anyway, so I did. So I'm going to let you go. That's all I have for you right now. And until next time, y'all take care.
Thank you for joining us on the Unsunday Show. To be a part of this ongoing conversation, visit us online at unsunday.com.